Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night. And this is a ministry where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And I'm glad you joined us. And if you, I should add before we get started on the lesson, that if you want to hear all the radio shows going back to 2009, they are at www.giftofgraceministries.org. That's giftofgraceministries.org. And, well, we'll do some more advertising maybe later. But I do want to emphasize that there is also a podcast. And if you go to your podcast app and search for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace, that's Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace. And there's also a YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. That's One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. And that's enough advertising. And then we'll talk about One in Messiah again, maybe next week. But last week we started talking about parables. And Jesus, during his earthly ministry, very, very commonly taught in parables. And this was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah 700 and some years before Jesus was even born. And we talked in detail about how a parable was something that was in common everyday language, describing common everyday things, but that had a spiritual heavenly meaning to it. And that certain people were tuned into it with, quote, spiritual ears, unquote, and understood the truth that was being conveyed and understood that these were concepts that were theological. And other people simply heard words and said, I don't know what this guy's talking about. I don't know what this means to me. And so they missed the spiritual implication of this. And we didn't get into the parable. We started talking about the parable of the sower from Matthew chapter 13. And we are, in fact, going to get into it. And I'm not sure if we'll finish it because you know how things go around here. We might end up doing another show. But why don't we start by reading the parable? Because although most of you know this, we're in Matthew 13 and the parable actually goes from verse 1 through 23, where Jesus explains, says the parable, then hears the disciples asking questions, then explains the parable. And then he actually goes into a very similar one after that, but that may be another show. Who knows? So Matthew 13, we talked about how Jesus was living in Capernaum, and he got into Peter's boat, and the boat went a little bit offshore. And this was done for acoustical reasons. It amplified the voice better and projected his voice better. And he preached from a small distance off the shore, and the boat basically became his pulpit. So starting in verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. That's S-O-W, by the way, not S-E-W. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, but because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. So we're going to pause there for a minute. So we talked about that. Jesus says, if you have ears, listen to this. So obviously, he's not talking about anatomical ears. He's not talking about sound being carried to the brain by the acoustic nerve. He's talking about, if you're tuned into the spirituality of this, listen to what I'm saying. So he talks about somebody planting seeds. He doesn't tell us who the sower is, although later he's going to tell us that it's him. Actually, at the end of the later on in the chapter, in a different parable, he says the sower is the Son of Man. And the seed, of course, is the Word of God. Okay, so the sower is constant. The seed is a constant. And what varies here is the type of ground that the seed is falling on. Now, these people were in an agricultural society. They understood about sowing seed. Now, they wouldn't throw seed on a path because they knew, you know, that wasn't going to yield any crops, birds and people stepping on it and so forth. But they didn't have sophisticated plowing methods and certainly not anything mechanized. So they basically would break up the ground with some primitive plow and they would just throw the seed. And we've actually seen some of this. My wife and I have done a lot of mission work in Mexico, and I was always amazed that a lot of small farms in Mexico, the crops grew kind of haphazardly because the seed was just thrown into a plowed field rather than being plowed in furrows. But we know the seed is the Word of God, and we know the sower is the Son of Man, who is Jesus. And interestingly, as you go through the Gospels, you find Jesus calls himself the Son of Man many times more than he calls himself the Son of God. You know, and I always go back, when I think of that, I always go back to the book of Hebrews where it says he's not ashamed to call us brethren because he's our brother in the flesh, because he has complete humanity. So there's four different situations that are described in this parable. First is the seed that falls on the path, so to speak. A path, of course, in physical terms, people who are not tuned in with spiritual ears would say, well, you know, nobody's going to throw seed on the road. I mean, what's this guy talking about? You know, I've heard this guy's a good carpenter and that he's a good preacher, but I don't think he knows much about agriculture because nobody's going to throw seeds on a road. But Jesus is making a point that when the seed goes on the road, it's trampled and it's eaten by the birds. So it can't take root. And he's referring here to Satan taking the seed away, which is the Word of God. Remember, keep in mind, the seed is the Word of God. And Satan and his demonic kingdom work very hard to prevent the Word of God from penetrating you. And we are engaged right now in this world in a terrific spiritual battle. There's unbelievable spiritual warfare going on. And as one of a great teacher I admire very much, Ralph Martin, recently said, if you don't realize that there's spiritual warfare going on, then you're already a casualty. All you have to do is open your spiritual ears and listen to what's going on. So the seed goes on the path, but it can't take root because people step on it, birds eat it up, and the seed can't grow, obviously. And these are people who have a superficial hearing of what's going on. These are people that really kind of hear a message, don't really process it, certainly don't process it in spiritual terms. And, you know, just so you don't think that this is only like, you know, some heathens in New Guinea. These could be people that are sitting next to you in church. They might be sitting in the pew behind you, the pew next to you, the chair next to you. So then we go to the next example, which is the seed goes on rocky ground. There's soil, but there's a lot of rocks. And that's someone who hears the word, reacts to it. They say, wow, this is very interesting. They consider this word, but when trouble comes along, they lose it. the cares of the world come along, and they lose it. There's no root that forms because there's no solid foundation. The ground isn't prepared for growth. It isn't prepared for the growth of the seed. And they haven't completely understood what's being said with the soul to their soul, but they've considered it and they've been interested in it. And as long as things are going kind of smoothly and everything is nice, they kind of like hearing this kind of talk and they think it's kind of interesting. But then when things get complicated, they can't deal with it. They can't get over stumbling blocks. So there's a brief growth and then the growth is gone. Then there's some seed that forms, that falls among the thorns. And this is overcome by the cares of the world. The Greek means that these are cares that distract the mind. In other words, there's worries that come, there's situations that come that your mind becomes preoccupied with. So the word of God is not as important as those things. And so it takes a back seat to the problems of your life. And Jesus is also going to say to them, we're going to see in a minute, this also applies to money and to riches. Money and riches, they're thorns and they choke it off. Money and riches choke off the word. This is why Jesus said love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but love of money, care for money. And these things choke the word. People tend to forget the needs and the cares of their soul because they're so involved with the cares of the world and how it affects their economy, their finances, their retirement plan, and that sort of thing. So the cares of the world choke off the plant and it can't grow. So fruit can't be produced until the thorns and the weeds are removed. Then the last situation is the good ground. It's good, fertile ground. There's no rocks. There's no path. There's no weeds. There's no thorns. And this represents a person who takes that word to heart and their heart is prepared to receive it. So they contemplate it. They understand that what they're hearing is something that's very important. And they understand now that this is the word of the kingdom, that these are the words of salvation, so to speak, and that this means much more to them. This means much more to their eternal soul, much more to their eternal destiny than the thorns and the weeds and the cares of the world and all these other things mentioned above. And so the plant grows and it bears fruit. And it bears fruit in different amounts, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Now, in an agricultural society, if you had a 100-fold increase in your crop, that would be awesome. Even a 30-fold increase would be awesome. So if you planted one seed and you got 100 usable seeds out of it, that's great. So agricultural people understood these things. And so the people who have the good ground are the ones that produce the fruit. And like we said last week, the more fruit that's produced, the bigger is the reward. The more is the reward. And if you have more, you're going to be given more. If you have less, you're going to be given less. If you're not faithful at all, whatever little you do have is going to be taken from you. Because this is work for the kingdom. And you are supposed to bear fruit. You don't hear much about discipleship anymore in the Christian church. You don't hear much about bearing fruit anymore. Because we want everyone to feel good. We want everyone to have a good experience. And we don't want we don't want to bother people with concepts like we're laborers in the vineyard, or we have to pick up our cross and follow him, or we have to deny ourselves. These are very unpopular concepts in 20th and 21st century Western culture. And so you don't hear much about it anymore, but the people whose word, the word thrives, in other words, using this parable, the seed goes into fertile ground and produces beautiful plants with a big yield of fruit. This is the good for the kingdom. And I'm sure you've seen by now the variable here. The sower is the same. The seed is the same. The variable here is the soil. There's different kinds of soil. The soil, of course, is different kinds of people. There's people in different conditions. The seed's the same. The sower is the same. The soil is different. The soil's landing on different kinds of people. And for those of you that preach and teach, and I'm sure you've noticed this, that if you're talking to a crowd, and it doesn't matter how many people there are, whether there's 10 or whether there's 110 or whether there's 1,000, and you watch people's reactions to what you're saying, you're going to see a certain percentage of people that go, wow, this is great. This is really interesting. Another certain percentage of people that are going to say, well, you know, this started out being interesting, but, you know, now he's been talking for 45 minutes, so when is this going to end? Then you have another group of people that's eyes glazed over after the first minute and a half, and they say, I don't get what he's even talking about. Then you have a number of people who came because somebody brought them. They have zero interest. They're just trying to be polite, and they just sit there, maybe fall asleep, maybe just sit there looking dazed. Then when it's over, they get up and walk out and say, what did I waste my time over here for? But the soil is people in different conditions. And what I want to emphasize is the problem is not the seed. There is nothing wrong with the seed, because the seed is the word of God. It's breathed out by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by the Spirit. In the Greek, it means it's breathed out. The Greek term is theonoustos, which means God breathed. So the Holy Spirit breathed out the words of the scripture. They're living words. There isn't anything wrong with that seed. There can't be anything wrong with the seed. So the hearer is the variable of the soil. The seed is beautiful, is perfect. So what's wrong? What's one of the big issues in the church today? The seed is wrong. The seed is the problem. We can't have that same seed now in the 21st century that we did in the first century, or the 10th century, or the 17th century, or the 19th century, because now we're modern and we've evolved. And now we're intelligent, and now we understand so much more. And so something is wrong with this word. We can't possibly look at the word of God the same way in the year 2020 as we did in the year 1620. It just can't be, because society has progressed. And so when we read certain moral truths, and people in the church say, well, you know, God may have believed that 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, but I'm sure he still doesn't feel that way. I'm sure he doesn't think that same way after all this time, because that word doesn't apply to us anymore. We'll have abortions and kill our babies anytime we feel like it, because we live in a society where, you know, we got stuff to do and we want to be free. We don't want to be tied down to this. And God understands that. He doesn't want us to be tied down. So I'm sure he's changed his way of thinking. And that's just one example, but, you know, that's a whole nother, another issue. In other words, the problem in today's church, the seed is blamed. The seed is outdated. because we've evolved. We have different moral and doctrinal thoughts now than we did before. There's moral relativism. We won't even get into doctrinal relativism. I've never heard that term. I just made it up. But it's everything goes back to when Paul writes to Timothy. I love 1 Timothy, and I love 2 Timothy even more. And, you know, when Paul writes in 2 Timothy that people can't bear sound teaching, they want to hear what they want to hear because their soil is such that they want to hear what they want to hear. They can't tolerate sound teaching if it's contrary to what they believe. And so they want to go to a teacher that tells them what they want to hear. I love the older translations that say the teachers tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Their itching ears want to hear. So they hear something doctrinally wrong, morally wrong, but it makes their ears feel good because this is what they want to hear. You know, tell us happy things. Tell us things that affirm us. Tell us things that rationalize our lives and our conduct. Tell us things that are how I live my life or what I think the gospel should be. Not what it actually is. I want to hear what the way I think it should be. Tell me about, you know, prosperity and tell me about entertainment and tell me about this non-judgmental kind of theology because that's what I want to hear. And so this has become 21st century Christianity in America. Seeker-friendly, let's have a nice time on Saturday, on Sunday morning. Let's have some good music. Let's all feel good. So we want our own seed. We don't want the truth. We don't want the true seed. We want to plant seed that corresponds to what we think truth is. And many times that becomes truth with a small t rather than a capital T. Because the truth with the capital T is not something that can still possibly be true, and it's awfully crazy and narrow-minded that some people would still think that way. We want our own seed. We will decide what God actually meant when he said things. Sounds like the garden, doesn't it? Oh, did God really say that? Yes. Oh, okay. Well, maybe he said that, but that's not what he really meant. That's not what he really meant. Satan has always used the same strategy since the garden because it works. And so we want our own truth. We want our own method of salvation. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with this soil that I have. The problem has to be with the seed. There can't possibly be these absolutes. After all, I'm nice. I should go to heaven just because I'm nice. I even give a dollar to a homeless guy once in a while. I mean, if that doesn't get me there, I mean, yeah, you know, I go to church, you know, 48 times out of the year. I mean, that's got to count for something because I'm making my own truth. I've decided that this is what salvation is going to be. I don't want absolutes. I don't want to hear about crosses and blood. I don't want to hear about sin and repentance. I don't want to hear about salvation or damnation. I want to live my life the way I want to and justify that I've got the right kind of soil and that if you think I don't, there must be something wrong with the seed. And this is where we are in 21st century Christianity in America and certainly in Western Europe. So, we're not done with this yet because we still got some important points about this parable of the sower, but boy, ever since the show got to be a half hour a couple of years ago, it's been really hard to do. And yeah, I already hear the music playing. Oh boy. Well, anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. And I hope you tune in again next week, where we're going to do kind of a mop-up of this parable and some things Jesus said about it. And have an awesome week.